As the kids are going, I want to just give a picture of the next couple of weeks here coming up at our church on Sunday mornings. We're going to be jumping out of our series that we've been doing in 1 Peter and putting a pause on that until June. And the next 3 weeks after today, we're going to be going through a three-week series through the Lord's Prayer from Luke chapter 11. What a great passage to sit on together. The disciples had asked Jesus, hey, teach us to pray. And Jesus gives them the Lord's Prayer, which wasn't meant to be recited as just something that just comes out of your mouth as something you have memorized, but a real pattern for prayer in a full and healthy way in your life. And so those next 3 weeks, we're going to have that given to us. And we're going to have Pastor Randy, Pastor Brett, and Jay Sarma, one of our elders here at our church, that are going to walk us through those 3 weeks. Lisette and I are going to be away actually the next two weekends. Next Sunday, we'll be up in Minnesota, where our son Titus will be graduating from college, Crown College up there. Any shout-outs for Crown College? Okay, one. Thank you. Thank you, Rodney. You didn't go there, but thanks for giving that shout-out. I mean, if it was a different college, like Toccoa Falls College, we might hear something differently, but Crown is also a good school, Christian school, and our son is graduating with a degree in missions work, and he's discerning what God has next for him, and we're excited for that. The following weekend, we'll be starting off at General Council, which is our national gathering for pastors and missionaries in the Alliance, and Lisette and I have to be there a day early because we're on some committees. The other pastors will be joining right after that, but so we have a couple things coming up these next 2 weeks. But we will see you again on June 1st together. So as we start out today here on this Mother's Day, this is a good day to celebrate and announce something really exciting. I have some news to give you. We're expecting. Not Lisette and me. No, not us. No, I've been waiting a long time to say that line. No, our church is expecting. We are excited that here in the very near future, as a metaphor of extending from our church to another place, we're going to be sending out a couple from our church, and they're going to be leaving in September, and today we're going to get to hear about that, celebrate that, just get behind them as a church family. Some of you are still, your heart's beating because you're like, did he really say that? I'm like, calm down, folks. No, that factory's been shut down. We're not, our kids are all in college. We're not starting over. But we are excited to jump into this today. This couple that we're going to hear from in just a little bit from now, I'm going to just hold off on talking about them specifically. But they're in the process of gathering what they need, preparing things, getting them in order, getting their message out, gathering supporters, getting people to pray for them, and we are their home church. And for us, guys, this is just something exciting, something special for us. We've been walking with them for several years, and I'm excited for this. And what I want to do before they come is lay out for us as a church that it's God's plan for a healthy church to be a sending church. You see that as the title here for today. A healthy church is a sending church. Wherever God is doing transformation in people's lives, he wants to do multiplication to more people, to more places. Okay, do you get this concept, this idea? Wherever God is doing transformation, if we're getting to receive the grace and love and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and he's changing our lives, as you come to know him more and more, there's a part of you that just goes, other people need to hear this. You know that cry you have inside of you? Like if God is so good, if he's the lion, he's the lamb for me, others need this. And so transformation in our life leads to multiplication for other people. In fact, we have a core value of our church that says, as a church, if we're going to be healthy as a church, we will multiply other disciples, We're going to multiply more leaders. We're going to multiply more ministries, and we're going to multiply churches because it's what we do. We're going to pour our efforts as God is pouring into us out to others. And so it's God's plan. It's his will that a healthy church would be a sending church. And so what is a sending church? It's a church that invests in others, that intentionally raises them up as they sense a call on their life. And we get to gladly resource them, celebrate with them, pray for them, encourage them, and send them out to do ministry somewhere away from this local region. It could be to plant a church in Philadelphia. It could be to go halfway around the world and bring the good news of Jesus Christ. But it's transformation that leads to multiplication. And our church, folks, has been a sending church for a long time. In fact, I just want to go back about 40 years in history and kind of cover a little bit of more recent faces that you would know that our church has sent. And this is talking about long-term ministry, people who have gone to serve with our family of churches, the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And 37 years ago, we got to send Bruce and Stephanie Beers, who went to first Ecuador and then later to Uruguay. And that was in the late 80s. Anybody here in this room, were you here as a sending church back in the late 80s? I'm seeing a few hands going around the room. You remember this. And Bruce and Stephanie have concluded 37 years of overseas ministry, and they're retiring, and they'll be back with us here in the next month or so, where they're going to be reinvesting, coming back here, ministering in our midst. And that's such an exciting thing to see that go full circle. And now as a church, we've actually stated that we're going to adopt the four couples that they've left behind in Uruguay that are doing mission work, and they're now our mission partners there. We're going to have that formal partnership with Uruguay. So Bruce and Stephanie are ones that we sent. Another couple that we sent a little after the Beers was the Copelands, and they served in Cambodia for, I'm going to just throw out a number, and I'm looking for Kendra, 20-ish years, 25 years? 20 years in Cambodia, and they have now come back to the States as well. Kendra is their daughter, and was born in, not born there, raised there, right, and spent 20 years of her life in Cambodia, which was an awesome thing. And we sent teams over to minister to them, and we prayed for them, and gave, and all that for all those years. Praise God. And then we have also gotten to send in about 2012, 2013, we get to send Zach and Jen O'Connor to Gabon, West Africa. And they are medical doctors there. And they're currently still doing that work where at this hospital, people come from far and wide needing medical care, and they get to tell them about Jesus Christ. And so every year, hundreds of people come to faith in Christ through this hospital. And Zach and Jen's mission is not only to those folks, but also to the doctors that come to this hospital to train for surgery and other kinds of specialties so that they can go as Christian doctors to other places on the African continent and be trained up, and the mission can be multiplied and continued to other places. Isn't that awesome? And we still continue a relationship with them, a partnership with them. The next couple that we got to send was in 2019, Matt and Stephanie Stein. Matt grew up here. We got to send them to Envision Atlanta. They're doing cross-cultural missions work in the United States. Folks, the world's coming to us. And where they serve, near them is the most diverse square mile in the United States. Hundreds people groups from all over the world live in this one square mile in the Atlanta suburbs. And they're getting to do something that speaks their language, not their verbal language, their life language, which is agricultural work on a farm. And so as people come to the farm, they're getting to hear about Jesus Christ, and Matt and Steph get to be part of that with them. And listen, we have loved these couples over the years. We've prayed for these couples
over the years. We've given to these couples. When they come home, we welcome them home. In fact, Zach and Jen O'Connor will be coming back in the next month. And when they walk into this room, I hope you go and hug them and shake their hand and thank them for what they're doing, check in on how they're doing, their son Caleb, how he's doing. This is what we do as a sending church. You don't send them one day and then forget about them. It's a commitment as a church to walk with them for all the years that God has them doing what they're doing. And like a mother who gives birth to a child and sends them into the world, they are part of us as we're a sending church wherever they go. Let me tell you, that's a real privilege as a church. And I want you to own this. Okay? We just had all these faces on the screen. I want you to own this. That whenever someone comes to faith in Christ in Uruguay and gets baptized, they had a baptism service 2 weeks ago. You and I had a part in that. Every time that in Gabon, West Africa, someone comes to faith in Christ through that hospital, you and I had a part in that. Every time one of those doctors gets trained up and certified and sent out to another place, you and I had a part in that. Every time a refugee comes to that farm in Atlanta and hears of Jesus Christ through being there through Matt and Steph's ministry, you and I had a part in that. Because why? We're a sending church. We own this mission together. And how sad would it be if we dropped our responsibility and they were out there doing what they're doing and they lost the prayer supply from their sending church. The power of prayer would no longer be supporting their ministry. They wouldn't see God do what he has been doing. What if we weren't the ones that were giving and the resources that God has poured into us, we weren't giving out to others, to them? They wouldn't have what they need. We are part of their mission. You know, not everybody can go. But everybody can send. It's our job. In fact, this is not just something new. This isn't something that we invented here at Emmanuel Church. This has been going on for 2,000 years in the church. And I just want to briefly give you a scriptural example of this. So there was a city north of Jerusalem called Antioch. It was about 300 miles up the Mediterranean coast. And in this city, it was 20 years after Jesus had lived on this earth, had died on the cross, risen again, ascended into heaven. He had given his disciples the mission to go and make disciples of all nations. And the good news of Jesus was getting around that region. And so to the north, 300 miles north, there were people who were coming to faith in Christ through those early disciples taking the gospel there. And in that church, something amazing happened one day. Acts chapter 13 tells us this. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, this small group, this small church, think of this, they had set aside time to worship the Lord and fast. The Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And so after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. This was a history-shifting moment in that church. I love that it was birthed out of a time of prayer and worship and fasting. These are regular things that the church does. We're gathered today for worship. We have meetings all over the place in our church and out in people's homes and small groups for prayer. There are people in our church who fast regularly and fast whenever they sense that God has something for them. It's a way of just getting your heart open and ready to hear from the Lord and be more devoted to the Lord and say no to your flesh and to the world. Fasting is a regular practice of Christians. And in that kind of environment, as they were gathered, you had two guys named Barnabas and Saul. What's the other name that God gave Saul a little ways after this in the story in the book of Acts? Paul. Paul became the most influential apostle out of all of them, took the gospel to so many places and wrote scripture, the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul wrote all the scripture that we now still have today. All the letters from Romans through, I think it's 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, Titus, Philemon, right there, a huge chunk of the New Testament. All those letters were written by Paul. And it came from this prayer meeting that the church was having in the town of Antioch. God has the right to pick some of the best and brightest and say, I want them to go. He has the right to take the ones that look weak in the world but are strong in the Lord and say, I want them to go. And he's moving in people's lives, even in our midst here. And he's tapped some people on the shoulder and he said, I want you to go. We've had times here at our church where people have encountered the Lord and they've been walking in this calling, preparing in this calling where they know that God is sending them. And we as a church family surround them and we're like, yes, we see God's hand on you. We agree as we walk with you, as we pray with you, as we see you minister and serve, God's hand is on you. Now, it might seem like there was an immediate sending within like a minute. They heard this from the Holy Spirit. They were like, oh, prayer meeting's done. Okay, you guys get here. We're going to get around you. Okay, we're going to pray, lay hands on you, and boom, you immediately go. I imagine there was more than a minute of span of time in there. I imagine there were probably days, if not weeks, where Barnabas and Saul probably gathered things, put some things in order, said goodbye to some people. I think there was probably a time of planning, even together strategizing as that church, and probably some gathering of supplies for them in that church. And then they laid hands on them, and they prayed for them and sent them. In fact, that journey, I'm going to put a map of it here on the screen, started off in Antioch. You're going to see it on the far right hand of the screen. It's in the blue box. The city of Antioch was right there along the Mediterranean coast, just off the coast. That's where that prayer meeting happened. And what you see in black is the journey that Barnabas and Saul took, first going down across the sea to the island of Cyprus, then up onto the mainland of what's now modern-day Turkey, and up into that area. They traveled 1,400 miles. They reversed their steps down and sailed back to Antioch. Nine cities, took about 1 to 2 years. We don't know the exact time frame. They planted four churches. And there is a blogger, if you can believe bloggers, that said, I want to try to calculate how much it would have cost for them to do this trip in terms of how much food and the cost of sailing on those ships and all that they would have needed. And this is pretty cheap for them. They probably went with hardly anything, but they didn't have any kids, any families. They calculated it would have cost them about $23,000 for that year or two in today's money to do that trip. Who do you think prayed for them that whole time? Their sending church, Antioch. Who do you think supplied most of that $23,000? This is where you answer. Antioch, their sending church. Who do you think sent letters to them to encourage them throughout that time? Antioch, their sending church. Who do you think might have sent some people to resupply them at times if they knew where they were, to kind of meet up with that team and convey the news that's going on and bring back news to Antioch? Antioch, the sending church. They were literally holding the rope at home for Barnabas and Saul as they went and did what they did. Not everyone can go, but everyone can send. That's our call as a church. It's what God's will is for us. Folks, we are called to be a sending church. That's why we have those what we call international workers. It's a little safer name than missionaries. It's why we have those four that we put on the screen. It's why we have more that we want to send. It's why we have a program at our church called an ALME. It's a little mouthful of an acronym, to invest in future workers who are called to go overseas. And we've had two of them so far. We have another one coming this summer. That's going to be Ezra. He's going to take Pastor Brett's position. And that's why we're doing that. It's why we have this core value to multiply disciples and leaders and ministries and churches. And it's why we're never going to quit as a church being a sending church. We are called to this, folks. And I want you to own it with me. It's what we do. And this morning, as we get to hear from this couple, let the Lord open your heart and be like, God, what do you have for me? What part do you have for me in this? So that we can make sure that the gospel goes to the next places that need it. And so we're going to actually cut the live stream right here. Goodbye.